Come on, all you Baptists, say amen. Hallelujah. Oh, you don't do that, do you? Sorry. But you can think it. Because the Baptists are right. How many have heard of the Calvinistic doctrine? When you apply the doctrine of Calvinism to the Spirit, everything works out okay. Then, how many have heard of Wesleyan doctrine, Arminian doctrine, holiness? And when you apply that doctrine to the soul, then things work out for you pretty well too. How many of you have heard arguments about whether it's possible to lose your salvation? Come on now, how many know that people argue about that? How many know that gets it hot? You want to have a hot time and really get this gymnasium warmed up here tonight. We could get some people going on whether or not it's possible to lose your salvation. Well, as I began to see the difference between spirit, soul, and body, I studied in my Baptist book and found out that every scripture that the Baptists use to prove that what God's got in His hand, He'll never let go. How many know there are a lot of scriptures like that that prove that God's got you, and boy, you know, what they call your standing is perfect. Every one of those scriptures refers to the spirit of man. But they didn't catch it, because they didn't divide soul from spirit. And then I got out my Methodist book and found out that the Methodist said, oh yeah, you can be like a dog, return to your, you remember what it said, vomit and lose your own, you got it, soul. And every scripture that talks about the possibility of backsliding says that backsliding is not in the spirit, it's in the soul. Well, praise God, that ought to make somebody say amen, hallelujah. That makes me feel good already. Because the only problem with you is your head. Now, how many have heard of a carnal Christian? How many know the Bible talks about carnal Christians? Carnal. Carny. Some Spaniard or Frenchman or Greek or Italian. You tell me what carny means. What? Meat. Meat. Carny means meat. Isn't that right? Chili con carne? Huh? Carny meat. Beans with meat. All right. Chili con carne. In other words, carny is meat. A carnal Christian is a meathead. Now, come on now, this is Bible. Now, the Bible students know that this man that's up here tonight has been talking more Bible than he has his own words. And he's been, if you count the number of words I've said, you'll find out more of them have been out of the Bible, though I didn't give you chapter verse for him, than there have been from, you know, whatever I said was just connecting anyway. Because I'm trying to show you something. God's not finished with you. So He sent the Holy Ghost, the Spirit, to work on your soul, mind, intellect, will, emotion, attitude, to change us from what we are to what we ought to be. But in order to do that, and now I'm getting, I think, to the end, I hope, in order to do that, the Holy Spirit has to have something to work with, to change your attitude, change your mind. I don't mean to be offensive to anybody here, but I understand that New Year's is coming very quickly. And at the time of New Year's, we're going to make some New Year's, what's that next word? Resolutions. New Year's resolutions. And here's the part I don't want to be offensive of, but I don't think there's anybody here that can keep a New Year's resolution. Now, you take it or leave it, but I just, you know, you've tried. How many have tried and failed? All right, you got the idea. That's why I said it that way. And I'm not trying to be smart aleck, but I want you to know something. No person here of his own pumped-up will can change his attitude. It takes the sovereign act of God by the Holy Spirit moving on the Word of God, the words that Jesus said. Now we're coming to a point that's going to be very, very sensitive. This point is probably the point that you prophesied about, brother. The point that's going to be difficult for everyone to eat off the table. But God prepared me to say it, and I'm going to serve it anyway in the name of Jesus Christ. And those to whom it's given may partake, and the others, please just leave it set. Is that all right? The word that's being spoken right now has to be, I want to say it right, the words of Jesus Christ and not the Old Testament Moses. Now, not everybody's ready for that. If that's offensive to you, just leave that for a while. You may want to pick it up later on. As I travel, I find this is one of the major things that's causing division and upsetness in the church today is the difference between law and grace. And so many Christians of today are still living under the gospel of the circumcision instead of the gospel of the uncircumcision. The gospel of the circumcision was given unto circumcision now. Say it, you get it. Peter. Now, Moses got the law. Are you with me on this now? Moses received the law. Peter received the gospel of the circumcision. And who received the gospel of the uncircumcision? Paul. Bible student. Shake your head so the others know. All right. Galatians 2, 5 through 8. Now watch this. Come on, you Catholics. Who was the first pope? Peter. And what have we received through the Catholic Church, the gospel of the, which is a mixture of law and grace, and you, Mr. Protestant, are a product of the Catholic Church. Come on. So you're still coming out of the gospel of the circumcision with its mixture of law and grace. That's what the big fight was. You remember the big flap 458 years ago? Luther was saying salvation is by, and they said, no, it's by works. That's law, isn't it? You follow me on this? And so what we're dealing with at the moment is a continuation of that which was started through Luther, perhaps even others, but he's the one that's named or recognized as the starter. But the concept of coming out of the gospel of the circumcision and coming into the gospel of the uncircumcision. But the church has found this a very difficult, difficult thing. And in your minds, now while you're looking me over, I'm looking you over. I can't find a single person here that doesn't have some commandments and traditions, law, yet to overcome. Pretty big statement. You picked it up in a quarterly. I don't know where you got it. Songbook. Who knows where. But it came from somewhere. And it's still going to have to be overcome. Because Jesus said, you eat whose flesh? My flesh. And that became a New Testament. And if there is a New Testament, it means the old is done away. For the law is a schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ. the anointing. And after we have come to Christ, why must we always go back to the schoolmaster to get our direction? Well, I don't mind coming to school every once in a while for a conference, but I don't like to stay here. If you follow. I prefer the freedom and liberty of getting out of school. It was a big joy for me when I accomplished that and got away from the schoolmaster. And I forget that the favor with God has already been found. And His name is Jesus Christ. And so, I forget even though I teach the lessons. How many know that sometimes us teachers need to pay attention to our own teachings? And I've heard myself teach many times there's a difference between the tribulation and the wrath of God. Some people have never thought of that. But the wrath of God is for the bad guys. But Jesus said, you good guys in the world, you shall have tribulation. And so for many years I tried to avoid the tribulation, to get out of it. Some of you are laughing because you know where. I'm not going to get on that thing. But I want you to know that wrath is a beating for something bad you've done, and tribulation is a learning experience for something you're going to do. Now some of you are going to understand this. There's not a person in this place whose heart is in tune with Jesus. I didn't say your head. Heart is in tune with Jesus. I better say that again. Some people believe that unless their head is in tune with their Christian society, some wives think that their husband have to be going to church, paying their tithes, doing, you know what I'm talking about, doing all the churchy stuff. That's not what I'm talking about now. If your heart is in tune with Jesus Christ, I'm not saying that you're socially acceptable to the church right now. If your heart is in tune with Jesus Christ, then every bit of trouble you've ever been in since that time has never been the wrath of God. I'm going to say that again. The wrath of God is for the bad guys, and it's because He can remember the bad things they've done. Now, when God looks at me, He cannot remember the bad things I've done. Praise God. I'm glad for that. It's just that you remember all those things. The church. It holds it against us. But God doesn't. It's been covered by the... Unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood. So then my past sins have been covered by the... blood. Now, if my sins have been covered by the blood, would you explain to me how God could ever be mad at me for something I've done? Now, you think of that. Come on, you theologians. Because that does not fit with a lot of teaching we've been giving our people. Have you heard Him tell them in church, if you don't straighten up, God's going to... Well, let me tell you something. When it's covered by the blood of Jesus Christ, God cannot remember the past against you anymore. So He'll never pour His wrath on you. He'll sock it to you with a tribulation. Let me talk about your dented fender. Or the burned frying pan, or that fill in the blank, something bad that's happened to you. If you think that this is because the wrath of God is coming against you for something you've done, you just don't understand about the blood of Jesus. Sir, your dented fender is not the wrath of God, it's the tribulation of God. And the purpose of the tribulation, back to Carolyn, is so that we might learn a lesson so that we can get out of it and come out on the other side victoriously and become a king and a priest, joint heir with Christ, an overcomer. And Jesus said to the overcomer, to him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I have overcome and am sitting in my Father's throne. At this stage, I really make friends with my theologians. When I tell you that I was raised a Trinitarian, I moved in the oneness circles for a while, and now I'm not a Trinitarian, for I do not believe in the Trinity. You know what the Trinity is. It's the Father, Son, say it, Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit. Now, the oneness people believe that's all wrapped up in the name of Jesus, and I can see some logic for both, but I don't believe in either anymore. I believe in the quartet. Where are you, Calvin? Now, isn't that the best music when you got four-part harmony? Isn't that better than three-part?
Ordinarily,
all right. Like I said, it's not for everybody. But you see, my friends, I believe in the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost, and the overcomers. We're going to sit in the throne of Jesus Christ, which is the throne of God. And that's the fourth part of the Godhead, called sons of God, joint heirs with Christ, kings and priests, sons of God. The fourth part. And Jesus said, you have that opportunity. You have that chance. And I honestly believe I'm talking to every person here, and I don't care just where you are right now in the church realm. To make it worse, I don't care how you're living at the moment. I don't even care who you're living with. You know, that's... I've come a long way since those old Pentecostal days. I mean that because I accept you and love you exactly the way you are. You see, I honestly believe that God is sovereign. You know what I mean by that? What's sovereign mean? Well, to me, the best word is boss. You know, all power. He's whatever. You see, if God is sovereign, then all the problems in your past life have brought you to this moment. Now, you think on that for just a minute. If God is sovereign, if God is boss, then I can accept you just the way you are with your problems. He's boss, he's sovereign. And so I can love you and accept you just the way you are tonight. But tomorrow, the new word is shape up or ship out. Your past is covered by the blood. It's under Jesus Christ. For we're eating of the flesh, drinking of the blood. The anointing of the Spirit has come upon the flesh, the Word. It's become Rhema. We have changed a lot from what we were, but brother, you ain't seen nothing yet. That's an Ebal paraphrase for I have not seen and ear hath not heard. It hasn't entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them that love Him and are called according to His purpose. And now, I used to teach the restoration of the church, the restoration of the fivefold ministry. How many have heard that God set in the church apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers? for the perfecting of the saints, for the unity of the faith, till we come to the perfect man. And I used to think and teach that the church was perfect 2,000 years ago. About 380 it became imperfect. Then we went into the Dark Ages. Then we began to return, and now, very shortly, we will be as good as we were. You got the idea? I honestly believed it. I taught it. It made sense to me. And God was restoring the church, going to make the church like we used to be, and give us apostles, pastors, evangelists, pastors, teachers back. But the more I began to look into this, the more I've discovered God has never done that. He's never taken the people back to where they were. He has always led them to some place they've never been. You think of that for just a minute. God, I believe, is not putting us on a circle back to where we were, but on a straight line where eye hath not seen and ear hath not heard, way out where none of us have been yet. If that makes sense to you. For this reason, I've noticed a big flap in the church right now having to do with whether we ought to be under shepherds or not. Did you think that I would be bold enough to start a thing like that on the first night? You did, didn't you? Shepherding. What's the other words? Submission. Covering. What is it? Discipling. My friend, I want to say this. I want you to hear me very carefully. That's all right for some people. Oh, you look like a bunch of goose eggs right now. That's all right. For you see, God gave the gospel of the circumcision to Peter to feed the lambs and sheep. And when you're a lamb and when you're a sheep, you're in a sheepfold and you need a shepherd or pastor. And that's all right for some people. So I'm going to warn you, don't knock it, because there are lots of lambs and sheep all up and down the whole nation as I've traveled. But I have not asked God for the lambs and sheep. My ministry is to those who are turning into kings and priests, joint heirs with Christ. For a lamb isn't always a lamb. Finally, he becomes a sheep. And in the sheepfold, even as William Branham wrote, and Bill Britton had a little article on the same idea, he changed it from sheepfold to barnyard, but it's the same thing. A lot of us discovered we're just not chickens. We've been fooling around with the chickens, but we just, there's something different. We must have been hatched from a different egg. And there's some of you who were born to be God's eagle saints, to rise up above the chicken yard. But I'd like to suggest to you eagle saints, don't go back and kill the chickens. Now, there are just a lot of eagle saints who have not understood this and are standing against shepherding. Are you hearing me?
Yes.
Submission, covering, and authority. Because when you're a lamb and a sheep, you need it. But in your development, some people here in this audience are turning into prince or princess who are about to be manifest as sons of God. These people don't fit that pattern. A few years ago, a famous Bible teacher was going throughout the land, and we thought his ministry was the ministry of a teacher. Most recently, we have discovered it's the ministry of a pastor. And because he's bringing forth the ministry of a pastor, it's caused some of the Eagle Saints to be upset and mad at this man. And I want you to hear me. I am not mad at Peter, and I'm not mad at Paul. God gave the gospel of the circumcision to Peter. He gave the gospel of the uncircumcision to both men were called of God. And I want you to know that that guy down there in Fort Lauderdale has been called of God to be a pastor. But not everyone is calling for a pastor any longer. As I travel the land today, the call is, send us teachers. Have you heard it? All throughout the land, the call is, send us teachers. Send us teachers because we want to know the Word ourselves. We want to be able to turn into something ourselves. So there's a lot of conflict in your mind, sir, and I'm speaking prophetically right now to some people who are wondering what God is doing in their lives. You have been raised in the age of the pastor, and we're leaving that age and coming to the age of the teacher, and you're in conflict because of it. Shake your head if you know what I'm talking about. There's great conflict in your ministry, in your mind, because you can see both sides and you don't know which way God's leading. Now, I'm giving you this for your analysis, take it or leave it, department. I think that the apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers can be divided up into the last 2,000 years. And the apostles were here. Now, when I say this, I'm not neglecting the fact that you can have them all, but I'm saying that there's going to be a major emphasis first on the apostles, then on the prophets, Origen, Polycarp, Ignatius, all these guys, then the evangelists, then the pastors, and it may be, I believe it is, that the church is at the edge of that area and is now calling for send us teachers, and this will help to describe the conflict that's going on in your own life. Because a lot of things we still want to be churchy. Come on now. There's still a lot of things. There are some people that would be offended if we didn't hold these meetings here tonight according to a structure that they learned in there. Come on now, you got the idea. And we still are thinking in terms of lamb and sheep, a structured way. And so I'm trying to excite your minds to the concept that God is moving on. Now, with him is no bare bones or shadow turning, but his method of dealing with us does change as we mature. As we mature, as we change, then his method of dealing with us does change. The last step in the preparation of the sons of God will be that they will be under tutors. Galatians 4:1. As many as are the sons of God, you remember what it says, they cannot manifest themselves, but they are under what? Tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. And there are some people here that have that churning within them, saying, that guy's right. That guy's right. They've heard some answers here tonight. For those for whom some of these answers are repulsive, let me just say that I didn't make that for you. You go on with your thing. What you like to imbibe and what you eat, go ahead. But number one, no matter what you study during this next 4 days, is that right, 4 days of conference? In quitting eating this and starting to eat that, no matter what you study regarding health, to put this on and take that off, you remember this, that the commandments and traditions of men are for the immature ones, and what's being told you in these sessions will be for those who can partake of it, because chocolate is harmful to some and doesn't harm others. Whether you caught that or not, now to me it's poison, to you, you may be able to eat it. So we're not trying to lay down laws for anybody. Are you with it? With us? This, nobody's going to get up here and say, if you break this law, God's not going to be pleased with you. These are not laws for anybody. But there's one law, one number one thing that I must emphasize. Nobody is going to get anywhere until they first eat from the bread box. The city of David, the bread house, and partake of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's the only first step. After that, after you enter the door, there are a myriad paths to the city whose builder and maker is God. And we're all trying to join at that point. Maybe God is calling you not to eat, but to fast. Both paths are of God. There's a time to fast and a time to feast, according to Jesus. Did you hear me? Both paths are of God. At the moment, I'll feast until I'm called to fast. And tonight, I've been talking about feasting. And who are we feasting on? Jesus Christ. Tomorrow morning, I'll be talking on fasting. And it will sound to you like I've taken a completely flip-flop, 180, turned the tables, but I haven't. Because there's a time to feast and a time to fast. And now, I would like, in order to fulfill these prophecies that I heard mentioned, for this group to look at that group. Turn your head right now, would you please? Look at these people. Now these people, would you look at those? I just want you to look at those people. Just turn and look. Pick one out. Every person here, turn your head. And get one side or the other, and pick out a person. You see him? That's the best God's got. Hallelujah. There they are. Yeah, that's the best God's got. This is it. This is what God's got to work with. Now look at each other again for a minute. Would you look at them? There they are. The best God's got. There they are. This is the material that he's chosen. Now pick out a person again. Stand with me, please. Now turn and look at each other. Each side. Turn and look at each other. Each side. Turn and look at each other, please. Pick out a person. Look. Allow the Holy Spirit to direct your attention towards some person. Now look at that person. That is a needy person. That person has needs. I heard the prophecy go forth tonight that we all have needs. Some are healing for the physical body. We'll go on to perhaps some laying on of hands for those who have that in the realm tonight. Some have needs in the head. Did you know that? There are some people here that are still harboring hurts and thoughts. and they cannot relate to the present day because of something that's already happened. Now look at each other. There may be, even in this group, some who have never turned the latch to the heart's door and let Jesus in the first place. But I've been speaking to you as though you have, because I'm not an evangelist, I'm a Bible teacher. And a Bible teacher will talk to people who are interested in God, interested in the Bible, and are interested in what it says. But in the event that there's one of these people that you're looking at that hasn't had that experience, I'll tell you, that's the greatest need of all, to turn that latch. Now, I want you to look at each other. Pick that one out in your mind right now. Every person, please, I'm not asking for much. Every person, please, pick another person across the aisle and genuinely agree with me in prayer for that person, that whole spirit and soul and body shall be preserved blameless unto the coming of the Lord. I didn't ask you to pray for yourself tonight. I asked you to pray for someone else. Is that a reasonable prayer request? Then agree with me right now. Our Father, in Jesus' name, we come to you asking for the move of your Holy Spirit. Give us eyes that see and ears that hear as we study your word, as it makes sense to us. We pray, Lord, that no person will be the same as when we came in, but each one of us will be changed. For those that have never had that first change in the heart, we pray right now. The latch will be let, and that Jesus Christ will enter in. For those who have never received the Holy Ghost in the head, we pray that the change in there will work first and continue to work in every life that's here right now. Every soul. And now, Lord, we pray for every body, every physical body, that this body will be preserved blameless unto the coming of the Christ. We trust you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.